Well, glad to see you, glad to see you. What is it?
Pardon me, mister. I got this map that tells where all the movie stars live. Does a movie star live here?
Does a movie star live... Oh, come now, don't you know me? Didn't you see Cover Girl?
Gosh, is this the way Rita Hayworth looks early in the morning?
Boy, I am Phil Silvers. Phil Silvers.
The Phil Silvers Show with Lee Harleen and his orchestra, Hollywood's great movie director, John Cromwell.
And as you Ken Carpenter, you.
And starring 20th Century Fox's brilliant comedian, Phil Silvers.
That's me.
You've seen him in such pictures as,
Diamond Horseshoe.
Diamond Horseshoe. And you loved him in,
Thousand and One Nights?
Thousand and One Nights. And you roared at him in...
Anchors Away.
Anchors... Hey, wait a minute, Phil. You weren't in Anchors Away.
I know, but Sinatra was. He's a friend. He can use the publicity. I love you. I love you. I love you? Oh, they've got to be kidding. Me playing a love scene? What's happening down at Fox? I wonder if Mr. 20th and Mr. Century know about this.
Really?
Just rehearsing, Auntie. That's my Aunt Josie. You'd like Aunt Josie. She keeps house for me and sort of takes care of me. She's so sweet. She's like a little bird. That's not Aunt Josie. That's a little bird. That's Aunt Josie. She always calls me by my middle name, Ip.
Philip, it's time for you to go to the studio. Do you know your lines, dear?
Don't worry, Auntie. I always know my part.
You mustn't ever get careless, Philip. No matter how great an actor you are, one misstep and overnight you are nothing.
So true, Auntie. But that's Hollywood. One day you're putting your footprints in cement, the next day you're back mixing it.
What scene in the picture are you shooting today?
A love scene. Imagine me making love. I won't do it. I'm a comedian, not a glamour boy.
Why, Philip, you are so. You're young, you're attractive, you wear nice clothes, and not many boys of your age own a gold toothpick.
You really think I'm the lover type, Aunt Josie?
I do.
Well, maybe you're right. I love you. I love you. I love you. You know something? You're right. I shall withdraw my objection and consent to do that love scene with Betty Grable.
Will you have to kiss Betty Grable?
I'll force myself.
Philip, I saw Betty Grable in a picture last night. She wore a scanty bathing suit and wiggled her anatomy quite recklessly. Any girl who will do that, we'll smoke a cigarette.
Auntie, watch your language. Aunt Josie's a typical old maid. She's so precise and cautious. Every night she leaves a light burning under her bed. but she's more like a rare old wine. C-R-E-S-T-A-B-L-A-N-C-A, Cresta Blanca. Of course, she's a little more Blanca than she is Cresta. Well, I couldn't linger any longer with Aunt Josie. I had a busy day ahead of me. First to the studio to do a big, big scene for director John Cromwell. And that night, I was to be on Frank Sinatra's radio program. Oh, I had a hurry. Oops, red light.
Hello, Phil.
Hi, Ken. Going to the studio?
Well, no, I'm not, but I'll just hop in and sit here with you until the light changes. I want to talk to you.
Go right ahead, Ken. The light is going to change in a second.
That's all right. You can wait. Phil, you know, most people we come in contact with think the war is over.
Oh, it is, boy. Read the papers. The light is green now.
Well, you can wait for the next one. When a great country like ours finishes a war like this, it takes a while to reconvert. A lot of kinks that have to be ironed out.
Yes, Ken, yes. But the light. The light. Up. I'm sorry, Ken. The light is green. That means go, and I must.
Now, you can pull over to the curb. This will interest you.
I'll be late, but if you insist.
Phil, a nation like ours must watch out for inflation and all the other gimmicks some of our ill-advised friends are trying to inflict upon us in order to retard our progress. You know, Phil, if I had some extra dough, you know what I'd do with it? I'd buy United States savings bonds. Then I'd know my money is safe as anything can be safe. That's what I'd do.
Oh, you're so right, Ken. Now you'll excuse me. I must get to the studio. John Cromwell.
John Cromwell is a very smart duck. I have it on very good authority that he salts away plenty of lettuce in United States savings bonds.
I know. But they're waiting for me. You see, Betty Grable.
Betty, too. She's a pretty smart cookie with her dough. Ask her about United States savings bonds. Oh, holy socks, I'm due at NBC. You shouldn't have kept me like this, Phil. Oh, brother, am I late?
He's late. The way that boy punches. What a salesman. I left Ken and drove down Pico Boulevard. My car radio was on, and I heard Tom Brenneman give an orchid to a little old lady. She was only 175 years old. You see, she happened to be in town with the Denver basketball team. I slowed down as I approached the massive silvery gates of 20th Century Fox Studios. My studio. Mine. I parked my car. They're very strict about suspicious characters hanging around the studio gates. Oh, they don't ask any questions. They just throw them out. They could have asked me one question. After all, I work here. I finally got in the studio by climbing over the fence, and I hurried towards stage 3. The delay at the gate caused me to be tardy. And when I'm tardy, I'm late. There goes Linda Darnell. Oh, she's so sweet and so friendly. Hello, Linda. It was a chilly day and she was wearing earmuffs. Betty Grable was hurrying to the set. Betty, darling. Good morning, sweet. Harry's trumpet has deafened her slightly. Poor girl. Ah, but was I thrilled when I saw Daryl F. Zanuck coming my way. At least the big boss talks to me. Hello, Mr. Zanuck.
Hello, dimwit.
I continued on to the set. Mr. Cromwell, my director, was nervously awaiting my arrival. Hello, Mr. Cromwell. Glad to see you. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, good morning. I don't think I'll bet today.
Bet? Bet on what?
Aren't you the chap who books the horses?
Crummy, old man. You're talking to Phil Silvers.
Oh, yes, of course. What are you doing these days, Silvers?
What am I... John, boy, I'm in pictures.
Oh, really? What picture?
Yours.
I'm going to stop taking those vitamin Bs that's going to my pictures.
Please, don't jest, John. Why, I was assigned a part yesterday by Mr. Zanuck. I was in his office for 3 hours.
Oh, is that so? Well, what happened?
He didn't show up. So I left the butter with his secretary.
If somebody would tell me these things, I could go ahead and shoot this picture. What part do you play?
I am a Rupert.
You, Rupert? Why, Rupert is a young man. Oh, makeup.
Yes, Mr. Cromwell.
Will you see if you can make Silvers look young?
John, you hurt me. Young? I'm gay. Rippity-boo, row-dow to boom ba doo doo. See? I'm full of pep and youth.
Francois, put some putty in Mr. Silver's wrinkles.
I just filled those wrinkles yesterday. What does he do with all that putty?
Please, Francois, no more putty. Every time I smile, the leading lady gets flak wounds.
And, Francois, do something about his hair.
Yes, Mr. Cromwell. All right, Silvers, I'll show you how to wear your hair.
Okay, but this time let me pick it out.
All right, let's make one.
All right, quiet on the set, everybody, quiet!
Mr. Cromwell, just a minute. I was looking over my love scene with Betty Grable. I have an
idea. The love scene is out.
Out? What's the trouble? It's my big moment.
Well, when we told Betty about it, she suddenly became ill and went home.
Poor girl. It's this weather. You can't depend upon it. Well, then, I've got another idea. We could add a few buffs to my other scene, see?
I'm sorry, Silvers. We're not allowed to make any changes in the script. You'll have to go to the front office for that.
Well, that's just what I will do. Mr. Zanuck. Mr. Cromwell?
Yes?
Shoot the scene as it is.
Naturally. Now, quiet, please. Take your place, Silvers, and remember that Rupert is a young man, gay, debonair.
Perfect casting.
He toys with life.
Perfect casting.
He's a sort of a carefree jerk.
Wind up your reel, buddy, and cast again.
All right, let's shoot this.
All right, quiet, everybody, quiet. Quiet.
Miss Brown, this is you and Silvers. All right. Roll them. Action.
Rupert, I have made my decision. You see, Rupert, I don't share your light-hearted, carefree, gay, debonair, flighty, gossamery, sleazy, unsteady, fickle, frivolous, buoyant, incompact, volatile, insubstantial, giddy, harebrained, muzzy, spongy views on life. So, there's only one thing to do. Goodbye, Rupert.
Goodbye.
Cut. Print it. A beautiful performance, Sally. That's all for you today, Silvers.
Acting before the cameras is such a strain. It takes a lot out of a man and makes a man very tired. And a man becomes weary when he's tired. My nerves were unstrung, and I had to appear as a guest star on Frank Sinatra's radio program that night. I needed to go someplace and restring my nerves. I heard the beautiful strains of Lee Harleen's orchestra drifting from stage four. He was playing my favorite barcarolle, Let It Snow. Getting late, and I hurried over to my barber shop to get slicked up for the broadcast. My barber is Louis, second chair from the door. Fine fella, Louis. When the shop isn't too full, he lets me spin around in his barber chair. But what I really like about Louis is he doesn't talk. Louis was waiting for me.
Hello, Mr. Silver.
Glad to see you, Louis. I want a quick trim and a quick shave. Well, what's new, Louis?
Well,
what do you think of that atomic bomb? You know they're going to blow up a whole fleet of ships. You know what those guys are going to do, Louis? They're going to blow a hole in the ocean. Then you know what we'll have? Radioactive fish. Imagine sticking your fork in the fish and having the fish look up and say, somebody, I see somebody knock. It's pretty silly, huh, Louis? And, Louis, did you read about the stock market?
Well, I want it.
The people are buying madly, and the stock market is going up, like a balloon. And where's all my money? Tied up in balloons. And, Louis, have you been to Santa Anita lately?
Well,
I got a pal who gave me a tip on that big handicap race. He's good. He can pick a horse a mile away. That's just the way the race ended. My horse was a mile away, all tied up in balloons. But, no, that's good enough, Louis. I must hurry. Got to be on Frankie's program in a few minutes. Goodbye. That's what I like about Louis. He doesn't talk. I was very late, but I couldn't help stopping. I spied a pretty girl. It was Sally Brown, my leading lady. I slipped behind her and put my hands over her eyes.
Oh!
Guess who?
Cary Grant?
No, guess again.
Clark Gable?
No.
Van Johnson?
Uh-uh.
Then take your dirty hands off me.
You see, I have a way with girls, but that isn't the way. I hurried on. Was I late?
Oh, Phil.
Oh, hello, Ken. See you later. Got to run. I'm on Frankie's show tonight,
you
know.
Wait a minute. Have you thought over what I told you this morning?
You mean about the United States saving bonds?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't have to sell me. I buy them all the time. Great investment. Gotta go.
Yes, Phil, but do you realize that those bonds are only a good investment if you keep them until they mature?
No, don't look at me, Ken. I never cashed one in. See you later.
War bonds shouldn't be cashed in unless a person is desperately in need of cash. Let's see, I think the first war bonds were sold in 1939. Those will be due in 1949. That's only 3 years from now. Boy, there's going to be plenty of dough-heavy people around when those bonds come due.
I got some due then.
Yeah?
I'm going to take the money and buy a little house for my Aunt Josie. She's a spinster, you know. And if she has a house, maybe some nice old man will come along and despinster her.
That's a good idea. You know, Phil, you can still buy United States savings bonds.
Well, I know, but Z, you gotta go. Simply got. I arrived at the radio station just as Frank was finishing his second number.
Keep Betty Grable, L'Amour, and Turner. She makes my heart a charcoal burner. It's heaven when I embrace Nancy with a laughing face.
That was Nancy, neighbors, dropping in at our old gold Quonset hut this evening as a pal who toured the GI European circuit with me last summer, which, of course, included a split week at the Barrett's Orpheum in the Munich Bierstube. You've seen the little lad play the jester in such gala musicals as Diamond Horseshoe, Coney Island, and 1001 Nights. Let's meet Phil Silvers.
Well, hello, Frankie. Glad to see you. Glad. This is fun, Bob. Lots of fun being there. It's great, isn't it? Frankie and Philly were buddies. The best kind of buddies you ever saw.
Please, Phil, shh. This is a family program.
Frankie, don't fight me. We're friends, aren't we?
Of course we're
friends. Frankie and Philly were buddies. And know how those...
Phil, please, you're straining your voice and our friendship. Please, after all, I, F. Sinatra, am in full charge of the vocalizing department around here.
But, Frankie, I'm helping you and you're fighting me. The way you open your show with that Night and Day. It's wrong, boy, wrong.
Wrong. What do you suggest? And I should kill myself for asking.
Well, let me show you. I need lots of room. Move the orchestra back. You're crowding me. I've got about as much room here as the hyphen between Kaiser and Fraser. Let me show you what I mean. Night and day.
They don't even have nights that long in the Arctic Circle.
You are the one.
Oh, Phil, pull yourself together. Calm down, kid. There aren't any talent scouts in the audience. Tell me, must you always be the buffoon?
Always the buffoon. Frankie, you cut me to the quick. And my quick can't stand many more cuts.
Phil, I'm terribly sorry. If I've injured you, please contact my insurance company, the Liberty Mutual, with offices in principal cities. I thank you.
Oh, Frankie, you're such a fool. I thought that you, of all people, knew the real Phil Silvers. The Phil Silvers who is not carefree and exuberant.
Why, Phil, I didn't know.
Yes, alas, it's true. I'm a sad boy, Frankie.
Oh, I catch on fast, Philip. Girl trouble again, huh, son?
I don't know what it is, Frank. Something must be wrong with me. Frankie, if you were a girl and you met me for the first time, what would you say?
I'd say, there's a girl who should be a man.
Frankie, please, don't make light. I'm only confiding in you because you're my bosomless pal.
Touché. Touché.
Good one, huh? Got a good one in
my job. Thanks a lot. Thanks, eh? But, Philip, my lad, you shouldn't be upset about girls. You know what Kipling said, and I quote, "A woman is nothing but a rag, a bone, and a hank of hair.
I know, but they're put together so nice.
You see, to win a babe, Philip, you must woo her with care. For instance, take a lesson from the fly. When he goes after sugar, he flits back and forth, back and forth. Then he stops and takes a pinch.
Just what I did. I flitted. Believe me. A little ahead of me. I flitted back and forth and back and forth, and I stopped and took a pinch.
Yes?
So I got swatted.
You know, Philip, my boy, giving you a quick appraisal, I'd say that your looks aren't against you. Of course, they're not for you either.
Thanks a lotra, Sinatra.
But don't get discouraged, Phil. You know, when I was a young man, I was the same way.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I was so disgusted, I was going out west to be a cowboy.
Frankie, you a cowboy? Why?
So I could wear high heels and be as tall as the women.
Oh, you just don't understand me, Frankie. You're laughing at me. Though my heart is breaking, I must go around and make people laugh. I'm a clown with a broken heart. A pagliacci. Reggie! Pagliacci!
Put it down here and I'll step on it. Phil, you know, I really think I know what your trouble is. It's your personality. You're too meek. You've got to learn to be forceful and aggressive. How to take the bull by the horn.
Oh, no. I learned how foolish it was to take the bull by the horn.
Meaning?
No milk.
You know, that's really what I like about you, Phil. When things get gloomy, you tell jokes and make them gloomier.
Yes, so true. Still the clown with a broken heart.
Not again, please, Phil.
I can't help it. That song keeps running through my head.
Well, open your mouth. The next time it comes around, I'll smack it.
Thanks a lot, Frank, for your sympathy.
You know, I tell you, Phil, there's really only one way I can figure out to bring out your personality. You've got to get out and meet people. Join a club.
I belong to a club.
Which one?
The Auto Club. And you know something, Frank? In 3 years, they haven't had one dance.
You know, I would have sworn you were going to say the Book of the Month Club.
They don't dance either.
Phil, you don't have a big problem at all.
No?
Not at all. No, sir. If A had two apples and B had three apples, and they wanted to divide them equally between X, Y, and Z, that, brother, is a problem.
That's a good
one.
That's
funny, what?
I like the way you came out. I mean, you're so sharp. Yeah. That is a problem. Good. You fool, you.
There. Cheer up, my boy. If we ever find that this humdrum existence of ours gets us down, well, we can always dream, can't we?
Frankie, that sounds like a music cue.
I got news for you. It is. Dream if you're feeling blue. Dream, that's the thing to do. Dreams make a pauper feel like a king.
Why, they'll make you sing even better than Bing.
There's that name again. Bing has four kids, you know.
Dreams didn't make it so.
I'm gonna top him, 'cause I've got a scheme.
Oh, kid. Dream.
Imagine you with a nose just like Hope has.
And riders like Jack Benny that Dope has.
Yeah, and your own Bobby Sox. And a new contract at Fox.
Hey, I'll buy that dream. Imagine you full of biceps and muscles.
No Dick Hames, no Comos, and no Russells.
A hooper that mounts and Bing's bank account.
He's loaded. I'll buy that dream, and Everett's got more than he has. But if our dreams never do come true, pal,
say I'm willing to settle, won't you, pal?
Naturally.
For making them laugh
and making them scream.
Oh, Frankie!
We'll buy that
It was a swell show, and Frank was very happy because we didn't do a lot of jokes about how thin he is. I don't blame Frankie for getting tired of those thin jokes. I would, too, if I was as thin as he is. Why, that boy is so thin, you could lift him up by the collar and shake him out of his clothes. Why, he's so thin that if he didn't have a handkerchief in his back pocket, he wouldn't have any profile. Why, he's so... Oh, Bob Hope's got a million of them. It was after curfew, and I hurried home. I was anxious to hear how Aunt Josie liked the show. She always says, Philip, I thought you were great, great, great.
Terrible, 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 terrible. They laughed at you.
Laughed at me?
I distinctly heard two or three people laugh.
Auntie, I get paid for making people laugh.
What did Mr. Sinatra pay you, Philip?
The usual, a carton of old golds.
Oh. You should be more businesslike and get money. I'll bet Bob Hope would get his salary if he were on the program.
He'd get Frank's salary, too. Pardon me, dear. Oh, I've had a busy day, Auntie. It's time for me to visit little Nemo in Slumberland.
Shall I bring you your usual nightcap, dear?
No, dear. Not my regular nightcap tonight, Auntie. Bring me my woolly one with the tassels. Good night, Auntie. Good night, everybody.
Next week, another Wednesday and another Phil Silvers show. What happens? Well, Phil had to open his big mouth and promise to take the four Crosby boys on a picnic. You know Bing's four boys? You don't? Our star, Phil Silvers, appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, as did John Cromwell. Frank Sinatra may be heard for Old Gold on Wednesday nights. The Phil Silvers Show is written by Manny Manheim and Charlie Isaacs. It was directed by Bob Moss. Ken Carpenter speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.